Welcome back to our Sunday school class. Can anybody tell me the topic? You've heard it 17, 18 times already. Living as a church, right? This is our Sunday school class, Living as a Church. And we are in kind of a second of three parts. So we've divided this one 26-week course into three parts. The second class, or second part, is on the theme of fostering unity as a church. So we've been thinking about in this second part of the class those things which we have in God's Word as we live as a church to encourage and promote our unity. I wasn't here last week. You guys talked about discipling, right? Discipling, okay. So we were over there in the new members class. We also talked a little bit about discipling as we read through our covenant. Before that, I think he was encouraging, right? These kinds of topics that promote and foster our unity as a body of Christ. So today we have the topic of hospitality. And today we're going to spend about 15 minutes teaching on hospitality and then spend the rest of our time in a panel discussion. So if you remember back when we did singing a few months ago, it's going to be very similar to that format today. So just a short time of teaching and then a more extended time of panel. That should take up our 45 minutes. But to get the juices flowing, let's play the word association game. What word comes to mind when I say the word hospitality? I, for example, think of the word doily. I think of a doily, yes. Hospitality, doily. So what do you think of when you think of hospitality? I've never owned a doily, but food, cooking, okay. Food, hosting, okay.
Anxiety.
The heart starts beating a little quicker, okay. All right. What other words?
Flash clean, which is...
Flash clean. Okay.
Or as we do, we get to know what that means. Shut the door.
Yeah.
I just have to say flash clean and the kids know what to
do. Hide it all in the closet.
Vacuuming and dusting.
Vacuuming and dusting, okay.
Sharing.
That's good. Different. Any other words?
Crock pot.
Easy meals. One pot meals, whatever they are. Yeah, amen. Okay. Well, the Bible calls Christians to the practice of hospitality, but it might not be exactly what we thought of when we had a word association game. Certainly, it includes those elements, but I think it includes so much more. So we're going to start today by reading all of the major New Testament texts on hospitality, all the major ones, or some minor ones, and discussing that. And then after we read them all, we're kind of going to take a step back and consider what does it teach us about hospitality. All right, so we're going to start with Romans 12:13. Romans 12 is this great chapter after expounding the gospel to these Roman Christians for 11 chapters. He gets into the application in Romans 12, right? Particularly, they're dealing with disunity. They're dealing with the division between Jew and Gentile in their church. And so this is part of his application of how to live a unified life as Jews and Gentiles in one body. Someone read for us Romans 12:13.
True to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality.
There it is. Simple as that. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. I actually think that those two are also related, right? They're not, you know, left field, right field, right? That these are similar to each other. So actually, we're going to read another passage that doesn't talk about hospitality directly, but I think is related. So now, turn with me to 3 John. 3 John, one of those less known letters. Probably don't read it too frequently unless it comes up in your Bible reading plan. 3 John, we're going to read verses 5 through 7. And I think this is showing us how hospitality is linked to contributing to the needs of the saints. So someone read for us those three verses of 3 John, verses 5 through 7.
Dear friends, you are showing faithfulness by whatever you do for the brothers, especially when they are strangers. They have testified to your love in front of the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, since they set out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from pagans.
Why don't you read 8 too, as well.
Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we can be co-workers with the truth.
Okay, thank you. So the picture here we have is John writing about the church's support of, we would call them probably missionaries. It's not explicit what they're doing, but they're going out, it says, right, for the sake of the name there in verse 7, accepting nothing from the Gentiles, right? They're being supported by the church then. And he says, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers of the truth. So this is, looks like some kind of missionary support, to put it in modern terms. But, right, what are they doing for them, right? It says they're strangers to them, but they're loving them, right? They're sending them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. And we get the impression that, that probably, culturally, this meant that they were being hospitable to them, right? That they were housing them, right? There certainly were inns at the time, but they didn't have a culture like we would have of hotels or housing for missionaries or things like that. So this likely meant they were supporting them by offering them a place to live in their house as they went, as they came. Right, so I think even there we see the link between hospitality and contributing to the needs of the saints in this particular way in 3 John. Right, there are other ways we can think of that, hospitality connected to contributing to the needs of the saints, but that's, I think, one good example there in 3 John. So hospitality connected to providing needs of the saints. All right, our next text is going to be Hebrews. Hebrews 13:2. Again, much like Romans 12, Hebrews 13 is getting to some of that practical application after the main argument of the letter has been concluded. So in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. The very, very overarching command to the saints there he writes to. And now, can someone read for us Hebrews 13:2?
Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
Okay. All right, so quick question about that. Have we studied, this is a leading question, but have we studied anything in Scripture lately that this might be referring to? Entertaining angels.
Abraham.
Yeah. So it's not a exact reference to that. He's not saying like Abraham did, but maybe he had in mind like what Abraham did. But maybe not. It might be just a general reference. So particularly we see hospitality associated with the word entertain there, right? Thereby some have entertained angels. So I think that does give us a clue what he has in mind when he talks about hospitality. But again, it's the mention of strangers. It's the same thing we saw in 3 John, right? Particularly, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, right? This is not your best friend, your buddy, though you can show hospitality to your best friend, your buddy. But particularly the emphasis here is on hospitality to strangers. All right, next. This is just, they're very simple, short verses. 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. We're going to read verse 9. 1 Peter 4, 9. And again, we're kind of in a list of commands, exhortations near the end of, second half of his letter, certainly. Speaking of hospitality, can someone read for us 1 Peter 4, 9?
Show hospitality to one another without grumbling.
That's it. Show hospitality to one another, added without grumbling. Now, I want you to imagine, culturally, in an era where there are no phones and no email, no immediate communication, why might people grumble when they show hospitality?
Because somebody just shows up.
Yeah, because there's someone just... There's no flash cleaning, right? They just show up at your door, right? And we have parables like this from Jesus. You know, someone shows up in the middle of the night. I'm not ready. You know, I'm in bed. He keeps knocking, right? Like, no. Like, hospitality at his time that Peter wrote often just meant someone showing up at the door, right? There could have been prearranged hospitality, right? But often it just meant someone shows up. They're at your door. You know, go make the bread. Get ready. This is just like what Abraham was doing. Just, you know, sending his tent and here come, you know, the angels. Well, let's get the meal ready quickly, right? So there could be a temptation to grumble, right? He says, so hospitality without grumbling, without, being inconvenienced too much. So we can think about later about ways that we are tempted to grumble when shown hospitality, ways that we're inconvenienced, obstacles for us in hospitality. But the last major verse I want to look at is 1 Timothy 5, 9 through 10. 1 Timothy 5, 9 through 10. All right, this is particularly Paul's instructions to Timothy concerning widows. And who are the widows that are truly widows to be honored, that could be enrolled, right? So this is, first somebody read chapter 5, read verses 9 and 10. Would someone read those two verses for us?
A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, And if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work.
Amen. Yeah, so what I want to particularly highlight here is how hospitality is associated with good works, right? At least in the ESV, they kind of put a colon right after having a reputation for good works, colon. And here's a list of the kind of good works that we want to hear that a widow had been doing in her life. Brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the feet of the saints, cared for the afflicted, devoted herself to every good work. And so here we see it listed that hospitality is one of the good works we're called to. What's up?
Sorry, verse 8, right before verse 9 was... If anyone's
Amen. It's a heavy verse.
Amen.
Yeah, let's receive that.
Sorry, that was
for me.
It is, it is a good verse, but I want to point out an example of this in 1 Kings 17 of a widow. 1 Kings 17. We're going to read just 8 through 16. I'm not going to comment much on this, but just as an example of the kind of good works that a widow would do in showing hospitality. This is particularly for the prophet Elijah being cared for by a widow. So this is the widow of Zarephath. So I'll just read it. 1 Kings 17, starting verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, that is Elijah, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. This is a drought. I probably should mention that. There's a drought going on here. Given by God. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. All right, so there are wonderful things we can see in there, particularly of God's provision for Elijah, his prophet, and this widow and her child in the midst of this drought. But even just the particularly the command, right? I have commanded women there to feed you, there in verse 9. And this is in the midst of drought, right? At cost, right? This is an act of faith for this woman, like to provide in hospitality for this man of God, for this prophet, at her own expense. This is an act of faith, and obviously we see how the Lord blesses that there in the last verses, 15 and 16. She does, as Elijah says, and the Lord was faithful to them.
It's interesting that she wasn't aware of the command.
That's right. Yeah.
She learns about it.
Yeah, we have to think about, like, what does that mean that I have commanded, right? We don't get the impression that the widow heard a voice from God. I'm sending my prophet to you. Yeah, it's very, very well observed. Yep. Well, again, we're going to spend bulk of our time with the panel. I just want to conclude by saying, you know, you could also look at 1 Timothy 3, 2, and Titus 1, 8. One of the qualifications for an elder is that they would be hospitable, right? But I want to kind of take a moment to review. What do these verses in general tell us about hospitality? And in particular, what's noticeable about what they do not say? I would expect hospitality to be linked with one particular word or group of words. What did we mention a lot in our word association game?
Having dinner together.
Now, so certainly we see that clearly in the story of the widow, but often we don't see any mention of particularly food. The closest might be that Hebrews 13:2 that says entertaining, but again, that doesn't necessarily imply food.
Abraham.
Yeah, we assume. So I do think it means food, but I do want to point out that this is the Greek word for, normally I don't think it's particularly helpful to know the Greek or necessary, but this is the Greek word for hospitality that we read in all those verses. So anyone familiar with the city of Philadelphia or philosophy or philanthropy might recognize this first part of the word. Does anybody know what that means?
Love, brotherly.
Yeah, love. This is love. Or even friend. So you might think in Greek there are three kinds of love, right? Philos, which is this kind of love, which is like a brotherly love. agape, and then and eros. So this is that kind of the brotherly love. All right, and then this second word, anybody familiar with science fiction, xenomorphs, or the word xenophobia?
Outsider.
Yes, exactly. So this is outsider. Outsider, strange, stranger, foreigner. Xenomorph, a strange shape, right? Anyway, yeah, so I think that's really helpful for us to understand what at its core is hospitality. It's simply being a friend of strangers, a lover of the outsider, of the foreigner, right? Nothing in that word particularly implies meals. Now, certainly, just because we know the parts of the word, you know, butterfly is not a fly made of butter. It's more than just a love of the foreigner, but it's not less, right? The hospitality means being a friend of strangers. So just to wrap up before we get to our panel, must hospitality include a three-course meal on your finest china?
No.
No. Must hospitality involve food in any form?
I think that's in the Baptist covenant.
I think it doesn't necessarily have to.
But not, yeah, must. I'm implying must. Can only families do this, or is it for single people as well?
Everyone.
It's for everyone. What if you don't have your own home? Can you be hospitable if you don't have your own home?
Yes, sure.
Can you love strangers if you don't have your own? Yes. What are other ways that we can be hospitable outside of meals? Right? Romans 15:7 commands us to welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you to the glory of God. So how can we show hospitality to a stranger to our worship service this morning? If someone comes in that we don't know, what would it look like to be hospitable to them?
Welcome.
How do you welcome a stranger?
Hi, my name's Bill.
Introduce yourself, okay? Yeah? You know, we don't have name tags, so it's nice to tell people your name. What else? What are ways we can be hospitable to strangers in our gathering?
Show interest in them.
Show interest.
Is this your first time
yep.
here? Are you new to town?
Yep. Yeah, get to know them. Ask them questions about their life. What brings them here? How do they hear about our church? You know? Are they Christian? Have they followed Christ for long? Yeah.
Offer them some coffee.
Offer coffee. We do have some snacks generously provided. We have coffee, right? So we can include in that the provision of snacks and refreshments. Yeah. What else?
Answer questions that they might have.
Yeah.
Love them by giving them information. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah, answer questions they might have. Yeah, I think even as a church, as we gather to explain the elements of our service, right? You know, if we have guests here who aren't familiar with this, right? To briefly tell people what we're doing instead of just kind of running through things quickly, right? In our service, welcoming them, right? Acknowledging that we expect visitors to be here, and if you're here, you're welcome. We're glad you're here, right? All these kinds of things. All right, well, unless there are any questions, we're going to now move to a time of panel. So I'm going to invite Paul and Tangi to come up. And we're going to ask some questions, and you guys can be thinking of questions. I'm going to get to start with the questions, and then you guys can be thinking of questions. We wanted to include a panel on this because it is particularly a work for every member, and every member hospitality is going to look different in their lives, right? Some people do have fine china and can make a three-course meal. Some people don't have fine china, can't make a three-course meal. So yeah, there's a wide spectrum, so we're going to ask some questions about hospitality here. Okay, so first of all, Paul, we can start with you. What are some ways that your family tries to show hospitality, particularly to the church?
Sure. Yeah, we basically try to have people over, I would say, semi-regularly. We move slow, like our family, and just between Tori and I, we have a recognition that we can only handle so much in our life, and we've been pregnant for much of our married life, and so it just means that we have to move a little slower. Often, our hospitality looks like just inviting people over, and sometimes we'll do a fire pit outside and just give them uncooked hot dogs and let them cook hot dogs themselves, so that we don't have to do any of the work. We literally just provide packages and say, let's eat together and we'll make it work.
Yep.
Looks more, sometimes more like preparing food and having meals with people. We try to be intentional on Sunday mornings to greet members who we don't know and don't mm-hmm. see as much. Okay? Yep. So I don't often talk to Kelton very much when I'm here on a Sunday morning because I'm going to see him every day of the week. But I'm not going to see someone like Kathy Critt or... so those who I'm not going to see often, I try to give them a few ways that I'll try to treat.
Tenji, what are some ways your family tries to show hospitality to the church?
Just really hosting whenever we can, like small groups on Sunday mm-hmm. Are one way that we can like, weekly mm-hmm. show hospitality to the church. And even just like you were saying, meeting people after the church and inviting them to that small group is really an easy way. Like I actually kind of think it's kind of cheating. with hospitality, like we get to do this every week, so it's a real like organic way to get people into our homes to say, oh, by the way, we host small groups, so you can come.
Yep. Amen. Yeah, hosting small groups is a legitimate hospitality and a wonderful one. Amen. Yeah. Sorry?
It's totally cheating.
Totally cheating. All right, so moving from the church, Tanji, you can start with this one. What are some ways that your family tries to show hospitality to your neighbors and friends, those outside the church?
Yeah. I don't know. It feels kind of awkward. Like, I feel like I'm self-promoting when I talk about this. But one thing that we've done is finished in our basement with the intention of serving others. Mm-hmm. So, like, although Sophia has most recently taken over our basement is, like, particularly clean all the time and ready for anyone at any time. So... that's looked like our friends know this, and we've told them, like, this is what we've done intentionally, and we've had people tell us, hey, we have a friend who's adopting a baby that was just born in Fredericksburg, and they need somewhere to stay for a week or two till they can take this baby home, and so we've done that. Mm-hmm. It was actually really cool to do. It was a stranger.
Amen.
We met her when she came to our door with like her toddlers, and like the Hendricks when they were coming. Mm-hmm. Just giving them a place to land, and we try to make it like just real easy. Not like, okay, well, let's have your schedule and we'll plan everything together. It's like, here's a key. Come and go when you want. Here's where the food is. Help yourself. And just having a place that's always ready for
come.
People. Yeah.
Thank you. Paul, same question to neighbors and families, friends.
I think one of the ways we try to do that is just like when we send our kids outside to play, one of us usually goes outside just to be around if our neighbors are outside and just trying to, in that sense, be hospitable with being able to encourage conversation and trying to engage in conversation. When we have new people, we've had one house that's kind of had a rotation of people, so when new people have moved in, we've tried to bring cookies or something, just kind of greet them and say, hey, we live here and we don't really have like a neighborhood because we live on a very main drag of the road, and so like we're really your neighbor, and on that house that's on the corner, so like we're going to try and engage
your corner.
With you. Hopefully you like us, because otherwise it's going to be a lonely road. So that's one way. I mean, when we bought our house, we bought it with the intention of having extra space for people to come stay. It's very dirty all the time. It's not like Tanji's basement that's always clean. But like it's there. It's available if needed. So those are a couple of ways.
Great. Thank you. Can we talk about that? Like, what is the role of cleaning and cleanliness in hospitality? Must we have a perfectly clean house in order to be good hosts?
No. Well, sometimes you're just going to drop in.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, we sometimes just leave stuff outside, right? Mm-hmm. So that we don't even have to worry about cleaning.
Okay.
We spent money on our deck so that we could feel comfortable having people stand on our deck and not feel like they need to go inside, because once you enter in there, it's a war zone, and whatever you step on may break your foot, maybe, I don't know.
Did you install a porta potties?
That's the next step. The next step is to provide some sort of outdoor bathroom. I mean, we have a couple trees that are relatively private. In our house, I mean, like, we will clean. We'll do a fast clean. You know, we know someone's coming over. But generally, we don't. We try to reduce the pressure. It doesn't always work. Like,
sure.
Feel the pressure wanting to clean, and so you have to keep telling each other, no, we don't. It's okay if the trash has some trash in it. It's okay if your living room has stacks of toys and books and stuff. That's it's okay if the laundry's on the floor scattered throughout the hallway, because that's just how our kids put away laundry, so. Yeah.
Can I add to that?
Yes, yeah.
So I feel like if people are stopping by, they don't expect your house to be ready for guests.
That's right.
And we have a phrase that we use when people stop by. Part of the mess, we live here. I mean, it's the reality. So.
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah, we're inviting people into our real life, right? Not a show life. You know, this is what it looks like, really. So what are some of, besides cleaning and trying to get the house ready, what are some other difficulties that your families face while showing hospitality and ways to address those difficulties?
One of ours is time. Especially as the kids have gotten older, you're not going to catch all of us at home very often. Mm-hmm. So we just had to kind of get past that and be like, okay, well, like, come over for dinner. Three of the five will be here. And just be okay with that. Or even maybe Matt might be out of town. It's just me, you know, or maybe I'm not there, although I can't imagine that. Yeah. Having people over without me there. Maybe ordering pizza. I don't know.
Yeah.
Time is the big one for us.
I mean, it's also big when your kids are little. So time's another, particularly when Tori's working. I think another one is really like a challenge is just feeling anxious about it. Like Tori and I often feel anxious when people are coming over. There's the threat that someone might come knocking on our door. And so it's just, yeah, trusting the Lord with that and trying to fight through that anxiety. And the more you do it, the less anxious you get. Usually. We've tried to address the time challenge by saying we're gonna aim for one person a month, like one person family a month. Like if we can have someone over once a month, it's not great, but it's faithful. And that's our goal. So that's one way we've tried to address that challenge.
That's good. Yeah, setting clear goals.
Yeah.
I also want to give a shout out to Matt. That ordering pizza is a fine way to show hospitality, right? Having paper plates, you know, not breaking out your fine china is a fine way to show hospitality, right? I think there is a pressure for us to always feel if we're hosting that we must cook a home cooked meal and it must be one of the best ones we've ever made, right? There's a place for. Yeah, we're short on time this week. We'd love to spend time with you. Our life involves ordering pizza this week. So here we go. Let's order some pizza. Any other common difficulties you might think of outside of those? I just want to give space for that.
One of ours is parking.
Parking, okay.
It's just inconvenient in our neighborhood. So we just have to tell people up front, here's your options.
That's good.
For parking.
Okay. All right.
One of ours is adjusting schedules. So like our kids go to bed at 7, and so we have to tell ourselves like it's okay if they stay up late tonight, or we have to start earlier, and like we'll have people over for lunch rather than for dinner, so that we can adjust. We don't have to adjust their bedtimes. So that's another challenge for us. Like bedtimes.
We've addressed this a little bit, but I want to give space to talk about this more. What are some ways that we can show hospitality outside of hosting meals, outside of sitting around a table and eating? What are other things that we can do?
Yeah, I mean, conversations, engaging outsiders on Sunday mornings, strangers, people you don't know very well. I don't think that just stands for like visitors, but I think that's like members you don't know well. Pastor, I don't know every member super well, and so like on Sunday mornings, I think part of my responsibility to be hospitable is to like engage those I don't know very well, right? And so I think that's one way.
Yeah.
That's good.
One way I experienced this week, I really wanted to get to know somebody who was visiting the church, but she lives on base and does not have a car during the day, so. It was just really complicated. So instead of me hosting her, I was like, I really love to do this. She shared me her concerns, and I was like, you know what? There's a coffee shop by your house. Can you just walk right over there and meet me there? And it ended up we just hung out at her house, which was great. But yeah, just being flexible with what that looks like in every situation. Looks different.
That's good. That's good.
Even paying for meals, like if you can go out to eat.
Yep.
If you don't have a home, maybe you're single and you don't have a house that you feel comfortable inviting people over, but hey, why don't you come with me to Mason-Dixon and I'll buy your meal for family of six. And that's okay. Like, that's good.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, can you guys think of any examples of how hospitality in your life has fostered unity in our church particularly? Have seen the fruit of this practice?
Yeah, I'll go back to small groups. It's just been a way to connect with people at a deeper level. Mm-hmm. Small groups, and that's like a continuous hospitality, right? It's like every week we're doing this together. So that's really been one way to foster unity for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think of during the transition. Pastoral transition. We tried to have you guys over with a few other families to start engaging those relationships and building that unity. I remember we had the Stricker Box over as they were for the membership class as a way of kind of doing the membership class within our home to build some of that relationship. We try to, like I said, we're trying to aim our hospitality towards people who we don't know very well. Mm-hmm. So if you do that, that's going to foster unity because those people that are on the outside are slowly beginning to make their way towards the off the fringes and, and more, towards the middle. So we've seen some fruit from that.
Okay.
I'll do my own more. So.
To follow up, should we feel bad about hosting people that are our best friends?
No. I mean, I think we do that too.
Amen.
We do that a lot. And that's often an easy way to start hospitality. So if you haven't, if you're not used to doing it, then don't invite the stranger over. You should do that. But you can start with someone you're really close with as a way of just like, okay, what does this look like? So we do that a lot. And that fosters unity because it just builds the relationships that are already there, that fellowship.
I have an example of that. So when Paul and Tori just got married, we didn't really know them. Or maybe it was before you guys got married. You're right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
And Tori was going to dox it for us, and we just wanted to like have them over and get to know them. But like, they're a little bit younger than us. And it just felt a little like awkward for me. I was like, what are we even going to talk to these people about? So we had the Claggetts over, and Paul and Tori were like, okay, they can kind of bridge the gap for us. And I think they had a good time sharing.
That's great. That's a great example.
Somebody else, too, to make it a little less awkward.
Yeah, involve other people. That's good. Yeah. Okay. All right, so a last question for you guys, and we'll open up the floor. Do you have any other particular tips that you would give someone who is seeking to show either some of the informal or formal hospitality that we've been talking about? Meals or support?
So kind of along with like just being okay with your house not being perfect is just be okay with your house not being perfect when they leave. Like even if it's perfect when people come, be okay with inviting people with little kids over that might destroy your house a little bit. It happens. So we have sort of another saying in our house. We're real big on sayings. And that's we love people more than things. Mm. So if things get broken, it's okay. Mm. If markers get on the wall, it's okay. We love people more than we love things.
Mm. Amen. Thank you.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, I think a great tip is just being intentional and think about what you're going to do. So don't expect hospitality just to happen because it won't, unless you're very outgoing. But like for me, I'm very not outgoing. So like hospitality won't just happen if Tori and I aren't making intentional plans to invite people in or to search people out on Sunday morning. So make intentional plans. And then, even in your intentional plans, then be flexible when those plans don't work as you want, right? So there are months that we don't have people over, and we can feel really guilty about that, but like, or we can rest in the fact that Jesus has died for our sins, and we can repent of that and try again the next month. Mm-hmm. And so just being flexible, being repentant, being humble, and good.
Along with being intentional with your plans, we've in the past had, like, we're not real big conversationalists in our house. So we've had, conversation starter cards on the table before when we have somebody new over, just so the awkward lull doesn't last very long.
That's good. Yeah, you remind me, there was a family that we knew once that they had prepared their kids with questions. Like, each kid was responsible for a particular question. Do you remember what those questions were with the Russells?
No, they were just trying to teach their kids
questions
about themselves.
Yeah.
their kids to be hospitable.
That's right, yeah.
So, like, so we would sit down and their kids had to ask
the question. Yeah, they had to, yeah, so have your kids if you have those, get involved in that. So, all right. So certainly not this changing Paul, our hospital. So if you guys have any tips, comments, lessons that you've learned that would be helpful to share, we'd love to hear those. Or questions. So games, okay. What do you want to say about games? Games are great.
Starters, getting to know people, spending time, having fun, focusing on a game, you know, like a game night. Mm-hmm. We've done that times. Hosting game nights.
That's great.
And it's people are at ease, they're having fun, and kind of get to know them, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
And hopefully those opportunities for spiritual conversations. You know?
Do you have a recommended game for people who maybe don't love games or aren't good at games?
It depends. You have to look at each group.
Okay.
Because you got the easy games, and then you got the deep games, you know?
So all right.
We do both.
Okay. Okay.
Uno is a very easy game.
Uno. There we go.
Yeah.
Uno.
I think oftentimes sharing what resources God has provided, not necessarily financial, there's other things, right?
That's right.
One of the fun things I always laugh about is if you need a tool, who do you ask? Everything.
Okay.
And that always allows an opportunity for me to share with somebody, and, well, what are you doing? Do you need help? Do you, you know, whatever it may be. So I think God provides us a lot of resources. And we need to share those.
Yeah.
And that allows that opportunity or brings about that opportunity.
Yeah, I think that gets us back to Romans 12:3 that connects hospitality to contributing to the needs of the saints. That along with our, you know, giving of tools or other practical resources we have, that we can be hospitable in that. Yeah, well said.
I think it also doesn't have to be in your home. Like,
that's right.
You've been going to do some fun thing, and so, like, invited, you know, like, when we have kids, like, married couple without kids, or single, you know, with us, like, hey, would you like to join our family to do this? And, like, I know when I was single, like, I tagged along a lot, you know, with some of my married friends and their kids. So, like, with hospitality, just, like, inviting them into what you're already doing as well can be hospitality. It doesn't have to be, like, specifically, like, intentionally only hospitality.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, you can include hospitality in the other things you're already doing with your family. Yeah, well said. Okay.
Thinking of the Good Samaritan. You know, they took care of the stranger, bandaged up, took them over to, I think it was an inn.
Yeah.
You know, put them up in the inn.
Yep.
Said, you know, take care of them and I'll cover costs.
That's right.
So that's another way.
Yeah, yeah. Showing mercy. That's right. And to those in need.
If you
suffering.
Really take them to Florida.
Take them to Florida.
North Carolina, wherever you go.
Well, I went to North Carolina. There was the lady Joyce. Remember Joyce? She came in. She wanted to get.
Oh, that's right.
She wanted a transportation to some place or other, and we put her up for a night at the motel and brought her back to where the Fred buses are in Route 1. She got on a bus and took off for Tennessee, I think it was. But
okay.
Gave her a favor too.
Praise God. All right, any other comments, questions? Questions for the whole room or for Paul and Tanji in particular about hospitality? Okay, then I have a final question. What are your favorite meals? When your hosting does involve a meal, what are your favorite things to make? So you guys want to start? What are your favorite things to provide? Do you have a go-to meal?
Depends on the season.
Yeah.
Depends on the season, okay.
It's usually a chili.
Okay, why chili is it?
So easy to make, and
he
makes a lot.
All of my, you know, alignment.
Camille?
Yeah, wasn't it? No. Chicken?
No.
I don't know. Why, you can't remember that.
Ours is roast.
Pot roast?
Oh. That's where I got it from.
You learned it. You learned it from the best. Okay.
Ours is roast because you throw it in, we can throw it in before we leave for work, and Monica is our crock pot. Monica cooks it all day, and then we eat.
You have a little assistant at home, Monica. That's great. So I see a common theme, one pot meals that make a lot and cook over time. Okay. Any other favorite meals for hospitality?
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut. There you go. Cheese and pepperoni.
We often do tacos.
Okay.
Because it's interactive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and everybody loves tacos too. So
hamburger soup.
Hamburger soup.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yummy.
It's
Mm. I assume that's also a one-pot meal, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It makes a lot.
It does.
Okay. Okay. Do we have a favorite?
I like you always grill.
Grill. We do grill a lot. Yeah, grilling is...
Summer do grill.
Yep.
And then there's like crock pot, like soup, stew,
barbecue.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Barbecue pork.
Grilling is pretty easy. Just have some frozen chicken kept in your freezer and you know, you just throw it on the grill for 20 minutes and 25 and you're good to go. Might not taste that great, but 35, yeah. Depends on how your propane is working in your grill. But maybe not. Okay. All right, well then, if there are no more questions, we can pray and be done. So, any last questions, comments? Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't always happen unintentionally, so you have to be intentional about it and plan it. So, I feel like I'm the habit of this with COVID, but we used to like, look at our calendar for the week or the month and figure out, okay, who are the people this month that we'd like to spend time with? And so, intentionally, like, budgeting for it and just like as we plan our month, like not just like hoping it happens along the way, but like being like these are the people that we intentionally want to have over and get to know this month, and then figuring out when that can happen.
Yeah, amen. And then sometimes telling them in advance so you have accountability. Like, so you're like, well, I already told them we'd have them over, so we better get this done.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Let's close in prayer. Father, we would be remiss to forget, Lord, to give you thanks for your hospitality of us. Lord, that you are the one who first loved the foreigners, the strangers, even your enemies, Lord. Father, when you call us to welcome others, it is because Christ has welcomed us. So Lord, I pray that you would give us the same heart of Christ, Lord, that was attentive not only to his friends, but people who were on the outside, people who were felt unwelcome, people who felt like that they were strangers. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you have given us in homes and in tables and chairs and crockpots and meals, Lord, and all these abilities that we have to prepare a time to spend with others. Lord, we pray that we would steward these well. Lord, we pray that we as your people would use the gift of hospitality to steward our relationships and to foster unity in this body. And Lord, to be a witness to our neighbors, coworkers, and even family. Lord, we pray for all these things in Christ's name. Amen.